Come on, if you would just turn with me, please. We're going to preach. If you turn with me, please, to Zechariah 9. Zechariah is right towards the end of the Old Testament, right towards the end of the New Testament. And then turn to Luke 19. We'll go from Luke 19 first, and then we're going to go to Zechariah. Zechariah is the second to last book of the Old Testament. And just get there, Zechariah 9:9. We're going to look at something. This is Palm Sunday. Thanks, buddy. Come on, are you ready for Seek tonight, brother? Come on, man. Thank you, Brennan. So good. So good. What a day. Mm-hmm. I hope that you are just at home and enjoying this. Here, I got my phone, and we are ready, man. Come on, I love the comments. It's so good. So good. Come on. I love it. Alan, your wife is on. She's watching. It's just incredible, making comments. I love that. Nikki, we love you. Stay strong, Nikki. Come on. Gina Mansfield, love you, girl. God bless you. And Brian, my mom. Woo! This is what my mom says. Renee, you always make my eyes tear when you speak. Beautiful. That's my mom. My mom loves me. I'm her favorite, by the way. It's amazing. Come on. There's so many comments, and we just so appreciate what's going on right now. YouTube and Facebook Live, we're so excited for the technology and these avenues to be able to come to you. And I'm excited about this. Come on. But this is what I want. This is what I'm asking. Is Friday is Good Friday, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal. And I'm asking me and my family and our team, I'm hoping to be fasting on Friday, really going in to Good Friday service, really powerful and focused and ready. And I'm asking you, man, if you one who understand fast and you want to be a part of fasting on Friday, I'm personally going to be fasting on Friday. And if you want to join in that fast, man, and just praying and concentrating. And I'm asking you, not even, watch this now, not even so much because of the season that we're in, but because we love Jesus and we're amazed at the sacrifice he made. We this is what I'm hoping, man. I'm hoping for us to flip a switch, because what's happening is what's happening out of our control. But we're not going to miss our celebration of Jesus Christ, the one who came, put himself on a cross for you and I. This is our season as believers, man. This is our season as the church of Christ to lean into him, be amazed at the sacrifice. And I want Friday to be about the cross. I don't want Friday to be about Corona. Man, I want Friday to be about the cross. This is what our hope is, man. We're going to put our attention on our Savior on a cross, or we're going to celebrate him. And I love this, because this is Palm Sunday, man. This is the Sunday that Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem. And it's amazing, because you've got three different things taking place here. Right? You've got three different groups taking place. You've got the large crowd, you've got the Pharisees, and then you've got Jesus. We're kind of unpack the story a little bit this morning, because I think it's just amazing that I want to now focus on what I would normally be preaching no matter what. Here on Friday for Good Friday, and then Easter Sunday, man. We're going to be juiced, and we're coming to you right wherever you're at as if you were here, whether there's 1,000 people here or not, man. We're going to juice it up, and we're bringing it. And I'm telling you, I want you to see this, man. I want you to lean into this thing. Let's start right in Luke 19, verse 28. Here's what it says. Follow with me if you have it, please. It says this: after he had said these things, he was going on ahead, that's Jesus, going up to Jerusalem. And when he approached Bethage and Bethany near the mount called Olive, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and there as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has yet ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say, 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent out, they found it just as Jesus told them." Verse 33. And they were untying the colt, and the owners said to them, I can hear myself preaching, it's pretty sweet. And then the owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and they threw their coats on the colt and put Jesus on it. And as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. Get this scene, right? Jesus comes to two of his disciples and said, "Hey guys, this is the deal. I need you to go into town. I need you to find this particular coat. And when you untie it," man, if somebody comes to you, Jesus knew someone would come. But listen, when someone comes to you and says, "What are you doing?" just say, "The Lord has need of it." They're going to release this brand new coat, and then you're going to bring it to me. And then Jesus sits on it, and then all of a sudden they begin to lay their coats on the colt, put Jesus on the colt, right, sitting on their coats. And as he was going, they were spreading their coats on the road. And as soon as he was approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd, John 12:12 says a very large crowd, right? We've got a large crowd. The whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. Watch this. They began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. They began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. Watch this. For all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, this is what they were shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. What, here it is, verse 39. Here's the second group. Here you've got this large group, and they're celebrating Jesus, and they're putting their coats on the ground, and they're putting palm branches on the ground, and they're doing what they need to do to celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Man, this is the week before the cross. This is the week before this. They weren't seeing that picture. Jesus knew what was going to take place. Jesus knew he was coming to Jerusalem to be crucified. Watch this. The large crowd thought Jesus was coming in to be their king. Completely different. Jesus knows I'm coming in, and in a week from now, I'm going to be hanging dead on a cross as a sacrifice for all mankind for sin. The people didn't get that. They thought Jesus is coming in to reign as their king. And then the second group is the Pharisees, and then some Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." Listen, attempt to silence them. Attempt to keep them quiet. And then I love Jesus' response. And Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these become silent, the rocks will cry out." Church, what happens even in this season that we're in, that we would come to a place and say, nothing is going to silence my praise. Nothing is going to silence. Man, the rocks will not have a chance. And I love this because my man Seth said this morning. The rocks will be silent today because his people will praise him. Don't give the rocks an opportunity. Don't give the rocks a chance to pray. Who are we? We belong to him. Man, I don't want any rocks crying out next to me because I'm silenced. No way. Man, and I love this. You got the Pharisees. They hated Jesus. Man, this is the last week. They're coming hard after Jesus in this week. And Jesus is like, listen, let me give you an answer. If they are silent, these rocks are going to grow lips, and they're going to grow vocals, and they'll cry out to me. Man, you talk about one who's in charge of all things. And I love the scene. These people are celebrating Jesus as their king. Why? Let me ask you, why do you think that they are celebrating Jesus so much, so much? I mean, they are this loud shouts of praise. And you got to figure it, man. There is a large group. And you can read this account. It's in all four Gospels, man. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. And you've got this group of people. And they are shouting, and they are covering the road with palm branches. They're covering the donkey with their coats. They're covering the road with their coats. And they're watching Jesus come in. And look at that. They're believing that this is our moment. Hey, this is our moment. This is our King has come. He's the Messiah. He's the one we've read about. He's coming in to reign as King. Their expectation of what they thought was a bit different from the reality. I want you to see this, though. Keep your finger in Luke 19 and flip over to Zechariah, please. And you know, in this, I constantly, when you're reading Scripture, ask questions. When you're reading Scripture, continue to ask questions. Like, hey, why would they have had such a celebration? Why would they have thought that this was their moment? Jesus speaks like no one we've ever heard. Jesus does miracles like we've never seen. And this is our king, and he's come. And they celebrated him like he was coming to sit on the throne and reign in that moment. But watch this. I want you to see why. Because I find it in Zechariah 9:9. And this is the prophet Zechariah, and he's speaking prophetically here. And this is over 500 years earlier than the moment we read in Luke 19. Can you imagine 500 years earlier, this was prophesied? Look at, this is so real, and this is so true. You see prophecy after prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled. You can't make this up. Don't believe for a moment that a man wrote this. This is inspired by God, by the Spirit, that we can read it, and we can buy into it, and we can trust it, and we put all of our stock into what his word says. So this is a word that came 500 years before Luke 19. And I love this. Watch this. Here's Zechariah. He's speaking on behalf of the Lord. It says this, "Rejoice greatly," verse 9, "rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughters of Jerusalem." Look at this. Look at the opening. He says, listen, rejoice greatly. What were they doing in Luke 19 when Jesus was coming over the hill? They were rejoicing. There was a loud shout of praise. There was this abundance of celebration. Coats on the ground, palm branches on the ground, Jesus on this coat. It was an unbelievable scene. But what were they acting out? They were acting out Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice. And the word rejoice, it means to exult greatly. It means to be exuberant in your joy. This I love. It means rejoice greatly, like exult with greatness. Walk in this place of a joyful celebration. Be glad greatly. Greatly, it means with a diligence. Be very intent on what this looks like when we celebrate God. I love this. Here it is. And rejoice greatly has this idea. When you really study this, it means they were exuberant and they were loud and they were rejoicing. Watch this. The word greatly, it means with a force. With a force. Mighty. This is the scene. When these believers, these disciples were seeing Old Testament be fulfilled in Zechariah 9:9, they were walking in this place of rejoicing, being exuberant greatly with a force and with a might. So much so, it was so much. It was, honestly, I believe it was so much over the top that the Pharisees were like, hey, this has got to stop. Listen, you need to quiet them down. This is too much. That's their celebration. That was how they were rejoicing. Shout in triumph. Like this is, when you really begin to look at shout in triumph, that means a battle cry. That's talking about a battle cry. That's talking about a loud shout because of victory, right? Now come on, watch this. Behold, here it is. Behold, your king is coming to you. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble, mounted on a donkey, even a colt, the foal of a donkey, which means this was the son of a donkey. This was a brand new son of a donkey. This was a male donkey that Jesus came riding in. Can you get, look at this, man. Let's just kind of put these pieces together because it's amazing when you see these people in Luke 19 that we just read, that there's a celebration and Jesus says, hey, listen, I need you guys to go into town, find me a colt. Never been rode on, gonna be a male, and I need you to bring him to me. And then you see in Zechariah 9:9, where, and I believe these people knew the Old Testament. They studied the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament. They had Zechariah's prophecy, where they were celebrating. Behold, and behold is this announcement. It's like the trumpets are going, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just. That means he's innocent and he is righteous. Isn't it amazing that even Old Testament declares that Jesus was righteous sitting on that donkey a week before he goes to trial, a week before he comes to this place to find himself falsely accused by false witnesses, put himself on that cross, perfectly innocent, righteous, and with no sin. Found himself on that cross, and it's prophesied, listen, he is just, he is righteous, he is innocent, he is pure. That's who he is. That's your king. Behold, and I love this, behold, your king is coming to you. That's the celebration. They are fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. 500 years earlier, as they read this, they look into this, he is just and he is endowed to salvation. And I love this word salvation. It means that he's come to rescue. He's come to deliver. He's come to keep you safe. He's come to save you, right? And he's come to give us the victory. This word endowed with salvation even means he's come to be our defender. Like we look at this one word and we see this amazing picture of Jesus. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is our victory. He is our defender, right? He is the one who came and put himself on a cross. And this is, today we celebrate that day that he knew this is my final week. And he comes down in with this one group of people, a large group, celebrating, shouting, praising. Coach celebrated him like they put out the red carpet for him, so to speak. Here comes our king. Watch this. He is just. He is innocent. He's righteous. He's pure. He's endowed with salvation. He is the deliverer. And I love it because, and many of you will love this, because one of the definitions here of he is endowed with salvation means that he is the avenger. I mean, you imagine how huge Marvel has made the avenger, right? Huge. Well, biblically speaking, he is the ultimate avenger. He is the one true living avenger. And he's come to take care of sin. And he's come to put himself on a cross. But in this, the Bible says that he is humble. Right? That means that he is afflicted and that he is poor. If you remember the teaching of Jesus, he said, listen, if you're going to follow me, know this, I got no place to lay my head. Listen, it wasn't like Jesus walking around with his pockets full. That wasn't Jesus. Like everything 500 years prophesied before this hits it to an absolute T of who Jesus was when he was coming up over that hill. Watch this. I love this. Could you imagine them seeing Zechariah 9:9 come through, right? Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just. He's endowed with salvation, man. He is the ultimate avenger, man. He is our defender. He's going to save us, rescue us, deliver us, bring us to victory. He is humble. Watch this. He is mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Isn't that amazing? And you see this thing fulfilled. I love it. You see it fulfilled in Luke 19, verse 37. The whole crowd of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice. Shout in triumph. This is exactly what they were doing. Exactly what they were doing. For all the miracles which they had seen, shouting, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And the Pharisees said to Jesus, listen, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. And then let's just look at this. I want to show you this. Because we see the response of the large crowd. And I'm like, Lord, I think their response was justified. I think their response is a fulfillment of a prophecy that was given over 500 years earlier. I think their response is like, this is the miracle worker. This is the one who's taught like no one has ever taught. This is our king. Our king is coming to us like right now. He's coming to rule and he's coming to reign. He's going to take us out of the condition that we're in. And this was their expectation. And I believe that it was justified based off of Zechariah 9:9. And then you've got the group of Pharisees, those who tested Jesus, those who hated Jesus. Guess what? These were the religious leaders who were constantly trying to put Jesus aside, constantly wanting their rules and their regulations to shine. And they got upset that these people had such a loud celebration over Jesus, the King. And they're like, listen, you need to tell them to shut up. And Jesus is like, no way. If they are silent, man, the rocks in this exact moment will cry out. And then let's look at Jesus' response. Again, there's three parties to this. You've got the large crowd, and then you've got the Pharisees, the religious people. The religious people. And then here's Jesus. Verse 41. And when Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city And look at when you got to get this emotion here. When you see people in celebration, and when you see people are celebrating Jesus, and they're just in this place of triumph. Would like if there's a point, like it's your birthday party and people are celebrating you, and this is your moment and this is your time, and it's just woo. I mean, it does something to you when people recognize you and they celebrate you and they're loving you and they're encouraging you. And man, you don't come to this place to be bummed about that, right? But what do we see Jesus' response? Here you've got this large group and they're shouting and they're triumphant. You got the Pharisees coming against the those who are followers of Christ coming against Jesus. But then Jesus' response is different from what you may think. In the midst of those celebrating him, the Bible says this. And when he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and he wept. What? Jesus saw the city. And you got to know something, man. This word wept, it wasn't like him just kind of wiping a tear away. I try to wrap my mind and put myself in this picture where you've got these people who are just, woo, Jesus, our King. Woo, praise you, Jesus. Hosanna in the highest, our King is come. Like, they're in this bunch of celebration, and it is a loud triumph. And if they would just stop and look at the very one that they're celebrating, he is sobbing. This isn't a tears of joy. This is him weeping. And the word weeping here, it means that he was sobbing uncontrollably. I mean, could you try to just put yourself in this scene where Jesus knows I'm coming in? These people don't get it. They don't get it. And Jesus, like, they're celebrating me as if I'm their king. And yes, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. And yes, Jesus is the King eternal. He's the King above all kings. He's the King of all nations. He is the King above all. He's always been King. He's King today. He's going to be forever King. He died as a King, gave his life as a King. And these people are celebrating Jesus. And he's on this donkey and he's sobbing. He can't control it. Could you imagine maybe just being some of the people going, why is he crying so much? Like, we're celebrating him. Did you notice? Like, I don't think he's enjoying this. Like, I can imagine people's conversation when they're like, woo, and they're like, do you notice? Like, he's bawling right now. He's weeping uncontrollably. What's happening right now? And you can imagine the conversations when they're celebrating and Jesus is losing it. But why? Why would Jesus be so broken in this moment? Watch. Oh, come on, how he loves us. Jesus came to put himself on a cross for you, that you would come to know him as Lord and Savior. This is why. Jesus was weeping uncontrollably. Because he knew what they didn't know. They were coming to him, and they had their vision of what was going to take place. Just like what Renee was saying, his ways are not our ways. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you have these such high expectations, rightfully so, justified in the way you think it should go? And to come to find out that it wasn't that way at all. You find yourself in a place of disappointment, or do you find yourself in a place of trusting him? I didn't see it going this way. Man, I really geared up for something different. I really thought it was going to go a different way. This was my expectation. I even celebrated it like it was my expectation. And it didn't go that way. This is where we are today in this story. They had this expectation. And I believe they were justified. But it was the wrong way. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus comes to a place where he's in this place where he is in this hurtful place of grief, this intense sobbing. while others are rejoicing, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which would make for peace. And again, we've covered this a couple weeks ago. Jesus is our peace. And Jesus said, listen, I'm leaving, but I'm leaving you my peace. We can have Jesus who reigns within us as the Prince of Peace. He said, listen, the things which you make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. And the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up barricade against you and surround you and hem you on every side. Jesus knew what was going to take place. Jesus knew, I'm going into the cross. And 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. But I'm leaving. And that's going to cause a lot of persecution. That's going to cause a lot of problems. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you, surround you, hem you on every side. And they will level you and ground your children within you, and will not leave you in one stone upon the other, because, watch this, you did not recognize the time of your visitation. Church, Jesus was broke because he knew. They missed it. They missed it. I'm asking you today, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Jesus came and put himself on a cross. And he knew this was the week. This was the week. This is when I'm coming in. Just, innocent, perfect, pure, without sin. Fulfillment of 500 years earlier. With a huge celebration. He's like, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And we know this because when Jesus puts himself on a cross, we read that there were so many who just scattered. So many turned their back and abandoned him. This isn't the way we saw it going. This was not what we expected. No, we expected him to be king, not hang on a cross. What is happening right now? And they turned their back, and Jesus knew it. Jesus knew it, and Jesus wept out of control. So many walked away from Jesus because that's not how they saw it going. I'm asking you, maybe even in this craziness, man, maybe this is a season you didn't see it coming, but this is not a season for you to walk away from the Lord, because he saw it coming. He knew this was coming. And then you've got Jesus. He finds himself on the cross. Even his closest disciples turn their backs and abandon him. The Bible says all the disciples abandoned Jesus, all of them. I didn't see it going this way. Because Jesus had such a passion for the lost. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He has such a love for you. He has such a love for you. Don't let today go by. No matter what circumstance you find yourself in this morning. No matter where you're at when you watch this thing, you come to a place to say, maybe it's not going the way I expected, but Jesus knows all things. This is never a surprise to him. He loves me. He put himself on a cross for me. He's wept over me that I would come to know him in a very real way. Please hear this, man. We're going to close out in a song, and I want you to pray. And I want you to come to a place, even this morning, today, to know that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. The whole part of Jesus coming in to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey in this great celebration, shouts of triumph, was a fulfillment of prophecy over 500 years earlier, all so that he could do one thing, get to the cross. Why? For me and for you, that he put himself on a cross that you might be saved, that you could come to repent from sin and to know, Lord, I'm a sinner. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, you love me. Before all of this, you love me and you're calling me today. Listen, if you know in this moment that Jesus is calling you to him, then do not hesitate. You don't need to be in church. You don't need to have a pastor. You just need Jesus and his spirit to say, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Come in this place to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Repent from your sin. Recognize it is my sin that causes death. Jesus came to give me the victory over death because he took care of sin. And it's on us, your choice, to come to a place to either stiff-arm the truth, to stiff-arm Jesus, or come to him with open arms and say, I get it. I get it. I'm a sinner. And I cannot save myself. I cannot do anything amongst myself in order to be saved. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, you died for me in my sin. And in this moment, I know that you're drawing me to you, and I confess my sin to you. Come on, lean into this. Lean into the screen, wherever you're at. Lean into this and say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sin. I see you came in to Jerusalem and you wept over the people and you've wept over me that I may not miss this moment, that I may not miss this moment right now that you put yourself on a cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. I repent. I turn. I call them out and I ask that you would come into my life and I ask Jesus' name, by Jesus' name, that I would be saved. That you would save me in this moment. Fill me with your spirit in this moment right now. Fill me with your spirit. And I walk in this place to confess, to make an agreement that you are Lord. And there is no one who compares to you. You are my master. You are sir. And I take a knee to you. You are my king. You were king then, and you are king now. And in this moment, you've become my personal king and my savior and my Lord and my rescuer and my avenger and my defender. And Jesus Christ, you are my victory. Come on, church. This is where we're at. This is where we're at. Come on, this is a message that just needs to get out to every house possible. Every house needs to hear. Get this message out. Come on, I love you. Tonight is seek. And as Brendan sings and they go back into us one song, I want you during this song on your face, if this is your moment to confess, that this is your moment to come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, then do it now and don't hesitate. Come to him. He loves you so desperately. And as we sing, man, I want to see you on your face in prayer in this moment, giving God this thing. Come on, amen.